You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you tonight? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Tuesday, August the 3rd. I am your host, Mike, joined as always, as I am, by Ian Berger, Big E, from right here at DolphinsTalk.com. Ian, how you doing?
Fins up, Mike. We are a night earlier than normal, so I appreciate everybody being able to shift some things around. But we got a lot to talk about, even though we're a day early.
We do have a lot to talk about. First off, top of the show, like always, just want to wish say hello to everyone over at finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Say hello to the folks at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. And for everyone watching on YouTube, be sure to subscribe and smash that like button. Also, anyone who is interested in writing for DolphinsTalk.com and being a blogger for us, send me an email at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Ian, let's start off with some news and injury stuff. The big news since we last did a show was offensive lineman DJ Fluker has been released. Now, Friday, he was placed on IR, had a little bit of a meniscus injury with his knee. We joked about him being out of shape last week. I guess it was more serious than that, so maybe he doesn't need Noom. then on Monday, he was released. Now, here's the deal. Fluker could be re-signed because when you put someone on IR in season, you can have them return in like 6 or 8 weeks or so. When you do it in training camp, you can't. He's out for the year. So the fact that they released him with an injury settlement, if they want, it looks unlikely, but if they want, they could re-sign him and bring him back to the team this year. And as you say, Ian, a healthy man has a million problems. A sick man has one. Fluker's got one injury, and that's really, it's that knee issue that sort of hurt him here.
It was a little surprising, Mike, when they released him, although they did kind of warn after he didn't pass a conditioning test that was possible. It's just surprising because it's a big name, right? And I think we were all hoping during the offseason that he would be able
to
give us
depth.
Yeah, he was going to be a depth guy. He was going to be able to give us something there. So it is a little disappointing. But like you said, you know, in a couple of weeks, there is the opportunity for him to be able to sign back on. And I'm sure, you know, the Dolphins are going to look at what's happening on the offensive line to say, is he an upgrade over somebody they have right now? And that could be very well be the case. And I know
more days like today, and it might be the case. A little bit later, though. In other news, obviously, the big news from Sunday was the COVID situation in Miami. Offensive coordinator George Gotze is still home and not with the team as he recovers from contracting COVID. No word there. Obviously, the three tight ends who are out are Seathan Carter, Adam Shaheen, and Mike Gesicki. They're out on the COVID list, so to replace them, because I know fans of Dolphins always laugh and chuckle, here we go, sign them more tight ends. These three they had to sign because you got to run a practice. And with these practices, you got the guys split up over numerous fields. You got first string, second string, third string. You got to have enough warm bodies to actually run a practice. So they signed free agents Gabe Holmes, Sal Canella, and Khalif Jackson. Don't get used to these names. I'm sure they'll be gone in a week. But at least for the time being, they're here. And if anyone really did sort of stand out, I guess there's a chance they could sort of hang around. But they're there right now because the Miami Dolphins, Ian, need healthy, warm bodies.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is that this is kind of a good test right now with the current COVID protocols that they have in place. And, you know, a question that I don't think anybody has really picked up on, and I don't think anybody has really asked, and I don't know if they'll actually give the answers to it, was, who's responsible for that, for that COVID outbreak. I know they said the coach was the first one that was identified.
And he was vaccinated.
But could it have been one of the other tight ends that originally had it and then shared it within that room? You just don't know, right?
Well, if I had a better nickel, I could take a guess too.
Well, and I know everybody's going to point to Shaheen because I know he's anti-vax, right? And I think that's it. But that's the hole in the cheese right now, because if this happens in the middle of the season and you've got eight people who are unvaccinated, or, you know, eight people who are vaccinated, one player who's not, and then three people, you know, come down with COVID, are they automatically now going to blame the unvaccinated player? Which, you know, again, I think that was part of the problems where they said, okay, well, this just doesn't make sense. But it's a story no one's really talked about. But yeah, we've got, you know, the one thing is that we've got Smythe out there who's able to make some plays. He was making some plays over the weekend when they were, yeah, exactly. And then they had the rookie as well. I heard his name a couple of times as well. Long, exactly. So it's been, yeah, yeah. But you know, the one person I really miss right now is I'd love to see Mike Gesicki out there. Haven't been able to see him at all, you know, even when I was there over the weekend, when we were there over the weekend. And he could help on pass protection. He can also help for those quick passes, you know, from the backfield. So, but we're only 1 week into training camp, Mike, August, so I'm not 3rd, too folks. Concerned.
August 3rd. And actually, August 3rd is a famous date in the history of the Miami Dolphins. That was a day Ryan Tannehill blew out his knee in practice a few years back and was lost for the season. So we got through August 3rd with no injuries this time. I guess that's a positive thing. In other injury news, let's see. When it comes to Salvin Ahmed, he got hit on Saturday, so he was in a red jersey on Tuesday, meaning he can practice, but he can't be touched. Albert Wilson, who's been sensational so far in practice, on Tuesday, he was limited because I guess he's still under a modified practice type schedule, meaning because of his past injuries, they're not going to just, you know, throw him to the wolves every day. And they're sort of taking him slowly. Parker practiced on Monday, sat out today on Tuesday. There's that. And Xavien Howard, look, we're not going to spend a lot of time on him tonight. We've sort of talked about this. We're blue in the face. We know the situation. Everyone knows the situation. He did not practice on Tuesday. He was limited on Saturday. He pretty much did the drills. Didn't do any 7-on-7 or 11-on-11s. And, you know, you don't need to call me Sherlock Holmes. I'm going to take a guess. His ankle's probably fine. He just isn't going to risk anything heavy contact here in training camp until this matter is resolved. And by resolved means, as we know, week one, he's still on the team and he plays, or he's sent somewhere else. It sort of is what it is at this point.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, today they rested Albert Wilson. I consider it a rest day. And I know we're going to talk about what they did today. And the same thing, I think Devontae Parker could have been out there today, but the wide receivers weren't being featured today during the practice. So I don't think that was necessary for him to be out there. And then Salvin Ahmed, I'll tell you, when he first went down, I was reading it through all the live feeds coming from camp, and it sounded serious, you know, that he was down on the ground
for a
while.
Like a ton of bricks, it sounded like.
Exactly. And it was great. It was great that he was, you know, he was out there today, because what that means is that it's not serious. It's not going to, you know, prevent him from playing. But with him kind of wearing that red jersey right now, you know, it could give Malcolm Perry a little bit more opportunities, could give, you know, Patrick Laird an opportunity, which I hear he hasn't really been able to take the opportunity so far in training camp. And then, of course, my guy, Jared Doakes, you know, it's given him some opportunities. He had a nice one or two runs today. So, you know, that's the thing when somebody goes down, because, you know, during the season, somebody's going to go down. It's just the way that it always works. So you've got to make sure that the guys that are backing them up are prepared and have had the practice as well.
Yeah. So let's talk about Saturday's practice first, because you were there for that one. And
yes,
you can probably provide some insight. So first things first. The new facility, the new training camp area, sort of for people who are, you know, out of state or maybe can't go to training camp this year, explain what it's like, what it was like sort of parking there, entering the facility, exiting, and just overall your experience being at the new facility.
So I will tell you, getting in the parking, it was very simple. You have to go through gate 10, which is the gate that is I'm thinking of my direction, southwest corner of the stadium. So you have to go into your gate 10, very easy to park, huge parking area right next door to the facility. And then you walk in, you have two options. You have an option where you can wait in line to actually get a seat, or you have the option where you can go see all the festivities that are happening. And the festivities included seeing the season ticket reps. I saw all the season ticket reps that I've ever spoken to. I think in Twitter, they were all there. So we got a chance to talk. They had a food truck there. They had the garage sale. And let me tell you, the garage sale that they put on is fantastic. And there was a line to get to the garage sale. They have hats, and they were probably 15 or 20 different types of hats. They were selling them for $15 each.
It's like half price. Yeah.
It's like half price, what you would find on a website. Exactly. They had game used jerseys. They had regular jerseys. They had like pants, you know, everything that you can think of, helmets, and they were all discounted. And all of the proceeds for that were going to the DCC, the Dolphins Challenge Cancer. That's the correct yes. one, right? Yeah, Dolphins Challenge Cancer. I know they changed the words. Yeah, so that was that. They had a DJ out there as well, kind of pumping things up. They had a face painter. You got a chance to meet a couple of ex-players. You had Patrick Sertan out there, and you had Nat Moore as well. Those were the two players that you got to meet, and you could take pictures with them if you wanted to. So that was cool, and I think they're going to be doing that every single session. To some extent, right? This weekend. So we'll talk about this weekend soon, but going into the seating area, very, very organized. I will tell you, it feels like it was twice as big as what we had in Davie, you know, so you could get a lot of fans in there. And the way that they've got the field set up, the way that they've got the stand set up, you feel closer to the field here versus what they had at Davie. So it's like it's got this whole different feel to it, which is really, really cool. At Davie, you know, you heard a lot of the music from the field. It was like it was weird how you heard it. It's hard to describe. But here they had music on the field, but you didn't really hear it that much. One thing that I noticed that they have stepped up on considerably now here is they have about 20 signs that say you cannot use your video cameras or your cell phone cameras for video. You can take pictures, but no video. And they had about, I'd say 6 to 8 people walking the ground to watch people in the stands to make sure that they were not videotaping. And that's, you know, that's the secrecy of the team trying
Every
to make
team
sure.
Has that too. Every
exactly.
Team has it, yeah.
You know, and it was funny because I forgot who I mentioned it to, but I said, you don't want a New England Patriots, you know, scout sitting there in the stand saying this is their offensive install, right? And of course, it's going to change probably as the season comes up.
Yeah, they usually do that stuff when the fans aren't there once it's closed. But still, you don't want anybody from any other team, even if it's a fan who's just going to put something online. You might have a large type of following like you do or I do online, just to sort of record 10 minutes of whatever they're doing. Put it up on social media, to which any other team can just go watch. Every team does that. It's not the Miami Dolphins. There's a lot of rules when it comes to training camps on what can be reported and when, what can be shown and talked about. But yeah.
So one thing I wanted to add. So this is the piece that I think they've got to figure out, and I don't know how they're going to figure it out, but it was 95 degrees out at Davie. They had these industrial size mist fans going, you know, during the practice. Yeah. It, right now in Miami, they don't, you know, so you're sitting there, there's zero wind in the stands and it's like 95 degrees. So at least we're all under an overhang and no one was getting sun. That's a huge difference between the two facilities, but it was still very, very hot out there. And I would say the stands were about 95% full when I looked, when it was at capacity. You know, some people come in later, some people leave early, but that middle part, I think it was great. But
I don't know how you do that. I mean, it's almost like those things in Vegas, if you've ever been, when you walk outside the casino, it's so hot, they got like the mist coming down from the ceiling.
And it's so high up. I don't know how it's
so
possible.
High up. That's the thing. That might not work. Or I don't know about the money involved in this. Every day you have fans at training camp, you pass out a couple free waters, ice cold. But I don't know if that's even financially feasible per se. But that's an idea, I guess, on days where it's just brutally hot. But yeah, that's something. But the best thing, Mike,
to see the Dolphins fans, to see them out there, to shake hands, to give high fives, to take pictures, to see Papa Pump, to see Paris Love, you know, to see Allie Doll Freaky out there. Just so many, and just so many people that I've talked to on Twitter, and you know, and finally they're like, Piggy, and I'm like, hey, we're always talking on Twitter. You know, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's always the fun part of this, because it's not like a game in that there's a smaller crowd and you get your hardcores. This is a place where you're going to meet the diehards of the diehards. They're going to training camp.
Yep.
Where for a game, you get everybody, which is great because you want everyone there. But for the training camps, you're going to get the people who want to see guys stretch and exercise and run drills and run punt return drills, which is, you know, not the most exciting stuff in the world sometimes, but that's where you're going to meet your diehards, your Absolutely. Hardcores. So Saturday's practice was a no padded practice. So with no pads, as I always say, we take everything with a grain of salt. But one thing that should be noticed, and, you know, Tua Tagovailoa on Saturday, from everyone who was there, had his best practice ever as a member of the Dolphins. And I know, you know, there's a segment of fan base that likes to criticize him or nitpick this. So far, and it's early, it's only about a week, he has been sensational in training camp. Now, on Tuesday, we'll talk about this. There wasn't a lot of passing drills per se, so not going to – it is what it is. They worked on other things on Tuesday. But so you can almost throw this one out the window. And it's not even that he was bad on Tuesday, he just wasn't
– he wasn't used. It wasn't a passing game. Exactly.
But so far – with no pads, Tua has been outstanding, to say the least. Yeah. Biggie, what are your thoughts so far from what you saw on Saturday with Tua?
Saturday was a great day. I think it was, and it's actually, if you've been following, you know, the live tweets, if you've been following any of the sports writers, you know, they were giving glowing reviews about Tua, and it was day after day after day. It was pretty impressive to see that. And on Saturday, it was no different. Now, Tua, too, I don't know if everybody knows this, but right before practice started, Christian Wilkins was the first person out on the field, but then Tua came out and he took the microphone and he thanked all the fans for being out there right before everything got started, right before everybody got out. But, you know, he was decisive with his passes. He had some very, very tight spiraled balls that he was throwing. He was pushing it down the field. You know, he was going 20 to 30 yards up the seam, and the wide receivers were making the plays. And he had a couple of red zone drills that were getting right to Albert Wilson and right to Jaylen Waddle. And let me tell you, watching Jaylen Waddle just put his foot in the ground and then, you know, shift to the opposite direction, it's a thing of beauty. And you have to, it's hard to say how great he is, because you have to kind of see it, you know. And he just, it does. I know people have talked about him having a limp and, you know, him working through pain. It does not show during these practices. You know, the young man, I keep saying it, and I'm going to keep saying it, that he's going to be special. You know, even today when it was really mainly a run day, you had him, you know, taking some catches from Tua from behind the scrimmage line and running up the field 15, 20 yards and missing tacklers, just the way that he was spinning. I think they called it a rinse cycle spin, where he spun out of a defender and they just totally missed him. So this is it's exciting to see. You have to go back. When's the last time, even this early in training camp? And again, I'm going to keep reminding everybody, this is training camp. You know, there, you don't really see what you got until you go to preseason and then you get to your regular season. But who can remember a week into training camp where you're talking about your quarterback being this good, this consistently? I don't think that's happened for a very long time, right?
It's not Marino, and not exactly. Even the end of Marino's years, because those last few years of Marino, look, we all love Dan. We got to be honest, like 98, 99, even 97, he wasn't the same guy. I mean, look, he was still very good, but he wasn't the same guy he was in his prime. Like 95 was pretty much, I think, his last big year. 96 on, yep. You know, he was good, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't elite by any means. He's starting to show his age. The arm strength was what it was. So we're going back to like 94, 95 was the last big year from Dan. And that's what we're looking at. And again, with Tua, look, we know it's a long way to go. We know he really hasn't had a big day in pads yet. I'm sure that'll probably happen at some point this week. We'll see it. Hopefully we'll see it. The other news, obviously, with wide receivers, with Parker being what he is, with Preston, who's also on the COVID list too, I forgot to mention. So not only is he on the PUP list, he's also on COVID. And obviously Parker, Will Fuller, and those guys out. Wilson sort of stepped up in a big-time way, and he's been making plays consistently, which is nice to see. Because as I said on the podcast I did all alone on Monday, Ian, you know, wow. I mean, this wide receiver room, and it's not an unfair criticism to say they're fragile, because the group's clearly fragile. Yep. All of these guys have had it in. Even Waddle, you know, that ankle thing, he appears healthy, and appears fine. I'm sure he's walking with a little bit of a limp because I'm sure he's not truly 100%. It doesn't seem to be slowing him down, and I don't think it will, but I'm sure next year this time he probably won't have a limp when he walks. All these guys from Parker to Will Fuller, Preston Williams, Albert Wilson, they all have something. And true. I think they're going to keep more wide receivers than many people expect.
Well, what's amazing is, you know, when we were talking about wide receivers during our last podcast, we really didn't talk about Robert Foster very much. And he has been making plays pretty much every day during training camp. You hear his name being called. And the fact that Devontae Parker's out, the fact that Fuller, you know, has been out, gives these other guys opportunities. Someone else that we've been hearing a lot about is, well, I've seen Isaiah Ford making some great plays in the second, you know, with the second and third string teams. But on top of that, Mac Hollins, he had a great day. I kept confusing him with Gesicki because when you look at his jersey, it's 86
and size,
he's a big guy. So Hollins is 86 and Gesicki's an 88. So I tweeted something that he made a great play and somebody was like, well, that's not Gesicki. I'm like, yeah, that was my mistake. I'm sorry about that. But there's so many of these guys. I'm telling you, and I said it from the very beginning, that this is going to be the hardest decision for this coaching staff right now. Even Jakeem Grant, you know, and some people say, well, Jakeem's a great practice player, but yeah, he's having a great camp so far. And they still got him going back for punt returns, you know, along with Waddle and in Igbinoghene. So don't be surprised if Jakeem gets a spot on this roster again. You know, they love the speed that he brings. So I had somebody who sent me a message earlier today and said, I'm really freaking out. You know, the fact that Fuller's not on the field, you know, he's not going to be worth anything, you know, because he's injured. Da, 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 da. And I'd love for him to be out there. And I said, well, actually, I'm kind of happy he's not out there right now. And here's why.
More of a chance.
Well, exactly. Remember, week one, he's not going to be there. So these other guys need to be out there because he's going to be suspended for that first game of the season. So it's good for them, for these other guys, so we can figure out, all right, what does this look like without, you know, without Fuller on the squad? So anyway.
No, yeah, that's and I do think when it comes to Mac Hollins and Robert Foster, I think one of those guys will make this team, not necessarily so much for their wide receiver role. I think they need one of them for a special teams role, running down punts because their speed and size. That's where – and I think that's kind of why they signed Robert Foster, because to have someone there to push Mac Hollins and maybe take that job, maybe do a little better. I think one of them will make the team. I'm not sure if both will. I think they're both fighting for one spot, but I think they have to keep one of them just for what they do on special teams. It could be either one, honestly. I don't know.
Yep.
So I think one of them will make it. And again, I think Wilson is kind of cemented himself now. Is probably in that
there's
top
no doubt.
Five group. He's making the team.
Unless he has a total drop-off.
Exactly.
With or gets preseason games. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that leaves you guys like Lynn Bowden so far. He hasn't had a great start to camp.
Nope.
Still early, but has had a great start.
Kirk Merritt, too. Haven't heard much from him, Kirk.
Hearns has been quiet. Grant has made a little bit of noise. So those are the guys to watch here and to see how many they'll carry. And that might be where they're sort of fighting for roster spots amongst that group. And you also have to throw in Malcolm Perry. I don't think Ford really has a chance. I mean, he's there, so he has a chance. I'd be very, very surprised if Ford makes this roster. Okay. We got to do trivia time. Now let me put up the picture everyone is fighting for this week with our trivia question. It is an image of Jason Taylor.
Oh, I love that.
From Carlos Hernandez at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. Going to do a trivia question. First one to answer will win this picture. Here's the question. Who is the first Miami Dolphins player inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? You got the answer. Who was the first Miami Dolphins player inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? And as we wait for a winner, Ian, it's that time and
not
show.
That time. It's my that parents time. Are watching tonight, so okay. I got to
Dad. Mom, Mr.
Mom
Biggie, Mrs. Biggie, turn down the volume if you don't want to hear this. This one's good. Attention listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston. Do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with the fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with a performance package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Everyone go to manscaped.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20% and get free shipping. And nobody's got this one yet. I've
no, they haven't.
It's crazy. Ready for an out-of-world experience, fellas? Look no further than the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped that has just taken off, not only in the United States, but in Canada, in the United Kingdom.
That's why they had that flag.
No, I have this. Okay. I would like to give a shout-out to our friends in the UK.
All right.
And all across Europe, Australia, South Africa, and Singapore.
Oh,
we're
nice.
Shipping to Singapore.
Nice.
Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your whole solar system, baby. That's right, your whole solar system. First scheduled for liftoff is the new Lawnmower 4.0. This spaceship is here to guide you on a journey to trim your body, butt, balls, and even Uranus. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker. It's like having a little astronaut to chop the worst weeds up top of your nose and ear. We still don't have a
winner.
Last one, and I'll wrap this up. Don't forget the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and their Crop Reviver to help your little planets be on their A game while feeling the sun's heat. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to the Performance Package 4.0 with the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Abort hairy balls and Buzz Lightyear that Woody with Manscaped. Everyone go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk. Save 20% and get free shipping. That's a good one, Ian. That's a live read. Mom and Dad, how you doing?
My dad decided to add he texted me with a new commercial. Trim the bush around the tush.
That's a good one.
he can write for Manscaped. I'm going to let him go write for Manscaped.
Part-time job writing copy.
Yes, exactly.
Charles Swartout. Is that how you say it?
I think so. Swartout? Yeah, sounds about right.
Send me an email at dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. We will get you your package, your prize, the Jason Taylor image by Carlos Hernandez at the IMA Miami Dolphins fan Facebook page. So, Charles, send me an email at dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. And you are welcome, Cap. You are welcome. We aim to please here at dolphinstalk.com.
That's right.
Also, let's talk about Tuesday's practice here as we sort of wrap up the show. First things first, there's a great quote today from new Miami Dolphins offensive lineman Adam Butler, who says, last week was preschool, today started training camp.
Yep.
Adam, you are 100% correct.
Yep, absolutely.
And he's right. Now, in Tuesday's practice, there was a heavy emphasis on the run game and not a heavy emphasis on the passing game. Hence why you don't see a lot of reports of long passes, no Parker, limited Albert Wilson, and not a lot of throws here from Tua. Heavy emphasis on the run game. And Ian, your boy Jared Doakes got some reps with the first string offense, and he looked well from all reports. And I will tell you right now, if he wins the starting job, not make the team, wins the starting job, I'm going to buy you, with our Manscaped money, a Jared Doakes jersey. But he's got to win the starting job.
23. That's number 23, right?
Number 23.
I will take it, man. I will take that. That's
so
awesome.
Jared Doak got some reps. For a lot of this practice, they put the ball at either the one-yard line or the half-yard line and watched the offense in an uncomfortable situation working out of their own end zone. So put them in an uncomfortable spot, see how they can do. And, you know, we'll talk about that. Other news, Nick Needham has been working with the first string with Xavien Howard not out there. Noah Igbinoghene, I believe that said right this time.
Yeah, you got it right, buddy.
Igbinoghene, not Bo. Yep. Igbinoghene.
You got it.
Has been with the second string. And from the people there, once again, as we said last week, two people who are very smart can see the same play and have two very different opinions. But pretty much the consensus has been Nick Needham has been out playing Noah Igbinoghene. That's why he's with the first string. Noah's got a little bit of work to do. Once again, still early. calm down. Bernardrick McKinney was amazing on Tuesday.
I was seeing his name every like amazing. Minute.
Now, yeah, he was. Everyone said he was great against the run when the pads came on. Last week, he did struggle in coverage, but again, in shorts is what it is. He struggled a bit last week in coverage against the run, and that's why they added this guy to shore up the run defense. On Tuesday, at least, he was top shelf. Everything you wanted from him and more. The starting defensive line as of now, and, you know, once again, this stuff will change, and it can change, but as of now, was Emmanuel Ogba, Raekwon Davis, and Zach Sealer. So no Christian Wilkins in the starting unit. Sealer has worked ahead of Wilkins the majority of time so far, and like the first week of camp. And Armando Salguero, Ian, had a little tidbit here saying that at the end of last season, the organization told Wilkins he needs to, quote-unquote, do more. Obviously, being picked so high in round one, they have lofty expectations for him. They want him to do more. What that more is, nobody really truly knows. I'm sure they have expressed that to him. But having him be on second string to start camp here might be a sign they're not satisfied yet that he has, quote-unquote, done more.
Yeah, and you know, so the one thing I noticed today, and again, today was really run heavy, and I guess on the defensive side, it was very positive because they were stuffing behind the line of scrimmage a lot. And I think that was a lot to do with the schemes that the defensive coordinators were coming up with. They were having the linebackers, you know, fill the gaps a lot. But what I also think that they're doing, and I think this is by design, is they're mixing and matching a lot. So I wouldn't read into Christian Wilkins working with the second team too much. I think it's really just an opportunity with some of these other guys to have an opportunity with the ones. So I would still anticipate Christian Wilkins to be a starter from day one on that defensive line. And remember what we saw from him last year. I thought we had seen an improvement from him because if he wasn't getting to the quarterback, you know, he was taking a few steps back. I know we had the one game where he got an interception because the way that he was able to step back, or he's been able to put his hands up at the right times to be able to knock down the balls as they're being thrown. And that's something that he has improved on over time, which I think is really important too. The offensive line, I think there's still concerns there, you know, from the center perspective.
Next. Yeah, I got you know, next. I have a lot of notes.
Yeah, so we'll stick with the defense. But Bernardrick McKinney, for being a free agent that we just picked up and for us to hear his name so many times today, it was amazing. It was actually really great to see that. And the defensive backfield for, you know, what they were doing too, there wasn't a lot of action there, but Noah Igbinoghene running with the twos and Nick Needham getting that number one chance. Again, I think they're mixing and matching to see where everybody can be because, listen, you know, there's going to come a time when Nick Needham might need to be a starter because of the injuries that happened. So
it might be week one.
And talking about injuries, and I don't know, we've talked about it, but Andrew Van Ginkel ended up walking off the field gingerly at the end of practice. That was a big news, you know, big news break at the time, even though I haven't heard an update on him. He was walking by himself. Yeah. So that was good.
And also I mentioned this on the show I did Monday. For those of you who might not have missed it, rookie Jalen Phillips has had a left compression sleeve, on his left leg, and he was held out of practice Saturday. He was held out of practice Monday, and he was held out of practice today, I believe. So he is still, whatever that is, something with the left leg. They're not going to tell you what the injuries are because they don't have to right now. Until there's a game, they really don't have to tell you anything. So trying to get news out of them is going to be like trying to find gold. It ain't going to happen. But there's that. And also, one last thing here. Adam Butler has been very impressive so far in camp. He had another big day today. So they have depth along that line on defense. And I think the Wilkins thing, I think they're sending a message. Whatever that message is, now look, he might start come week one, but clearly they're sending a message here because he was a very high pick in the draft. So obviously they have lofty expectations. And whatever message that Armando's sort of talking about, because he doesn't really know what they mean by more, but obviously he was told that they want more out of him. Whatever that is, maybe it's weight, maybe it's this, that, who knows, but they expect more, they want more, and right now he's with a second string. Now we got to talk about the offensive line, and this will probably end the show here. Look, folks, here's the deal. It's only one practice in pads, so you can't hit the panic button yet, but we can also be critical of certain things as well, and I think that's fair. And let's start off with who is right now on paper the starting offensive line and has been the starting offensive line pretty much every day. This hasn't changed in the four or five practices they have. Left tackle, Austin Jackson. Left guard, Liam Eichenberg. Center, Michael Dieter. Right guard, Robert Hunt. Right tackle, Jesse Davis. To me, I'm not stunned by this because I said today on social media with people asking, I think the big surprise is mainly Eichenberg at left guard, not really throwing him out there at right tackle. And Eichenberg, his final years at Notre Dame, was mainly on the left side. I was told by a professional coach many years back, going from tackle to guard or offensive guard to tackle is easy. It can be done. It's not that big of a transition. Going from the left side to the right or the right side to the left, that's tough. So if Eichenberg, they drafted, and he, you know, he's more comfortable on the left, putting him at left guard, I have zero problem with. And once again, this all could change. It could change. It's still very early. But if they, if that's where they sort of hope he works out and want to give him the first chance to work out, I have no problem with it. And from all reports, he's been pretty solid so far at left guard. Now, this was a bad day for the offensive line.
It was.
They were off their feet a lot. They were on their
butts. No holes for the running backs.
Now, once again, it's a, you can't go crazy because the other side of the ball knows it's a day where we're not going to work on passing. So they're going to tee off on this offensive line, knowing what the plays are pretty much. But with that said, you hope for a little bit more to see more. Solomon Kinley has been working a lot with a third string. That
tells you a lot right
there. Disappointing, very disappointing. Hopefully, I don't know if it's a weight issue with him. That's always something you have to consider because he is a very big boy. And it was reported on Tuesday from a lot of the reporters there, not just one person. He was on his ass a lot. And now he's working with a third string and he's on his ass a lot. That's not a good sign. Center, Matt Skira has been working second string. And today he got bumped down to third at one point. So that's not good there. And Cameron Tom got moved up to second string center. I guess he's actually been somewhat okay, but obviously not a guy you want to sort of start at any point. And I think here's the concern, and I'll get your thoughts again.
Sure.
With the offensive line. Austin Jackson, left tackle, I have no problem with. Jesse Davis, a right tackle. As I've said numerous times on our shows, I have no problem with one of these veterans, whether it was him or Fluker. Now it's obviously most – having him hold down a Jeff, there's so much youth here. I want a veteran out there. So having him right tackle, no problem with Hunt, is what it is. Eichenberg, fine. Michael Dieter at center. Now, I saw this guy up close play in two real games in 2019. And I'm just saying this nicely. Look, we are pseudo reporters here, pseudo analysts. I can't say everything's always sunshine and rainbows. I'm just saying he was not good. He got pushed around badly in 2019. Now, he was a rookie. Last year, though, the offensive line wasn't sensational, and he still couldn't crack the lineup. He hardly played last year outside of maybe a handful of plays. If we're going to roll into week one with this guy at center, and I'm sure he's improved some, I'm sure, but that is not instilling confidence in me with our center position. And if the guy we signed, the veteran we signed, is, you know, working second string and he's getting bumped down to third string in the first week of practice, that also doesn't instill confidence in me. And we've spent so much of a heavy investment in this offensive line with first round, second round picks. We traded up in round two for Eichenberg. We traded up in round four for Solomon Kinley. Austin Jackson's round one. Robert Hunt's the top of round two. If we still haven't solved this offensive line issue, and I don't want practice, I'm not saying we haven't. I'm just saying the early reports aren't promising. And if we're going to roll into the season with Michael Dieter at center, that's kind of a disappointment. I'm not going to lie. I mean, he can always prove me wrong and shut me up. Absolutely. But that's not what I was hoping to see.
So I'm going to remind you, it's the first day of pads.
Oh, I know.
Right. That's first thing. But secondly, I think what this tells you too, and I find this to be encouraging, that Coach Flores says, and he says this all the time, that every position is up for grabs. I'm going to have everybody compete for their role. So even though you may have been a top of the second round pick, even though you may have been a top pick last year or the year before that, that doesn't automatically mean that you're automatically going to be a starter for this team. And I think what he's trying to do is mix and match to find the best grouping together. And today it was finding the right grouping for the run game. It sounds like they were really focused on trying to find, you know, the offensive linemen that can make holes for the runners. And they didn't have a lot of success with it, a little bit. I think the longest run I read today was a 9-yarder that one of them made. I think it was, I forget who it was, but anyway, I think what's disappointing is seeing Solomon Kinley drop down to the third, but I think that's a clear message to him that he has to get better. You know, last year, he was thrown into the starting lineup, and I think it was partly because he was drafted and they wanted to put him out there. But now there's competition for that position, and he's not going to be guaranteed for that either. Here's what I like, though, with Dieter. This is now his third season, you know, and sometimes for offensive linemen, it takes them a minute to get to the level that they're going to be productive and that they're going to be successful at. So he has been the starting center, I want to say now, for every practice. Yeah. Since training camp opened. So that could be encouraging, because I know, you know, again, he's up against Skura. There's nothing stopping Skura from being successful and competing for that role, but he's obviously not doing something right from the coach's perspective. So coaches are going to put the best players in there that gives the team the best opportunity to be successful. So I think what we're seeing today is not going to be the final starting offensive line that we see week one. I think it's going to be mixing and matching. And I think I say this with the coach, he wants guys to be ready in case an offensive lineman goes down. I think it's in the Miami Dolphins voodoo or something, where every season we have an offensive lineman go down for one game, for a couple games, for whatever. So, and we always have issues with the backups. I mean, I remember a particular game where Tannehill, you know, we were winning, and Cincinnati. Then right, exactly. And the offensive, two of our offensive line starters, I think one of them was Tunsil, and I forget who the other one was. And the defensive rush came in, I think sack, fumble, and ran back for a touchdown or something like that. And I was like, all right, that's going to be that game. It just happens with the Dolphins so often. And Coach Flores is trying to find guys that can jump around a couple of different positions that could be successful in those positions. So I'm not too concerned. I'm excited for what we get tomorrow, because I want to be able to see Tua, you know, throw the ball a little bit more with the pads on, so that we can continue that good feeling that we've had so far. You know, and also, like you said, trick out the defense a little bit. They can't stack the box if they don't know if they're going to run or pass the ball, you know?
Here's my two concerns. Is now that we lost Fluker, who is a guy who could have played left tackle, right tackle, left guard, right guard. Depth-wise, if you're going to start Michael Dieter, who does have a little flexibility, who's your first guy off the bench? Right now it's going to be Adam Pankey, and that's not encouraging to me. The other thing is, we know these offensive line issues. We've had them forever. Ian, we're paying. It's on our cap. $6 million for Eric Flowers to start in Washington. Now, yeah. Why are we paying $6 million for a guy to start for another team when we clearly have offensive – that move never made sense to me at the time, and now that you lost Fluker, most likely. I don't think they're going to re-sign him, but once again, who knows? To have him play for another team when you got offensive line issues of your own, potentially, or at least need some more depth. Because right now, if you look at the depth, here's your backups. It's going to be Cameron Tom, Matt Skura, Adam Pankey, Timon Paris.
A lot of guys that you haven't heard of before.
A lot of guys you haven't heard of. Yeah. And it's just, we go through this, it seems like year after year. It's just worrisome. It's not panic button time yet. It's August 3rd. But it is a little worrisome here that it's the same young group, and you hope for growth and you hope they improve. But even, you know, if not, you still got two guys in this group, and Eichenberg was a rookie, and Michael Dieter, it's year three, but, you know, outside of 2019, he really hadn't done nothing. And when he was on the field in 2019, it wasn't any good. So we'll see. I think they're going to have to be in the market here for a veteran offensive lineman. Once again, nobody any good or no one who you expect to start, but a little bit of capable depth, And because this, and I know this practice on Tuesday, it's loaded up against the offense. They tilt the scales. They're working on things. That's why they're putting the ball at the half yard line. They want to see how the offense can survive when they know that the pressure's coming. So it's just practice too. But overall, you just look at this on paper, and I actually think what they are putting out there with this offensive line right now, I mean, outside of Solomon Kinley, maybe taking back left guard, maybe sliding Eichenberg to right tackle, There's
a lot of things that are going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't,
you know what, Mike, we won't know about kind of their thought process probably for another 20 years when ESPN does a 30 for 30 on Miami Dolphins making it to the 2022 Super Bowl. That's when we'll learn about all these off season decisions that were made. You'll have Flores sitting there, you know, he'll be like, well, we made this decision because we thought Solomon Kinley could, you know.
Yeah. So, but that's going to be the thing now, I think. All fans of this team, because so far all the reports on the wide receivers that are there have been positive. All the reports on Tua have been positive. Xavier Howard thing is what it is. And the pass rush news has been positive. So you know every practice now, the microscope's going to be on this offensive line each and every day. And where we will get a much better idea is when they do the joint practices. Because the joint practices...
We're doing the Bears first, right? Aren't we doing with
Bears the first and Bears? Then Atlanta, yeah. Correct. Because yep. You're lining up against other guys that you haven't really seen.
And they're going to play that much harder.
They got something to prove. Guys. And now it's not against their own guy who they've seen probably for a month or however many weeks. They got something to prove, and they don't care about your team or your job. We got to beat you for my job. So that's where we'll get a better idea. But hopefully this offensive line, and it is promising about Eichenberg too. I don't want to be all negative because he is – out of the guys that are there, he's actually getting a little bit of praise, which might tell you a little bit more about Austin Jackson and Robert Hunt, but he's getting some praise, so that's good. So, Ian, I think that's all we got for tonight.
Yeah, that's all we got. Yeah, no, Mike, it's been a lot of fun. Did you want to talk about the military giveaway?
Oh, yes, our military contest. Everyone, we've gotten a ton of great feedback. I get probably one entry a day, which is amazing. So if you are a fan of the Dolphins, and you also served in the military previously or are serving now, send me an email to dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com, and you have an opportunity to go to a Miami Dolphins home game this year. Not just a home game, the home game of your choice. There's 8 home games this year. You tell me which game you want to go to. We're going to make it happen. We will give you 2 tickets so you can go with a friend or a spouse or whoever. We will give you a parking pass, and we will give you some money for food. And there's also another surprise coming I can't announce just yet, but it's going to be friggin' awesome. So it's a whole package. Now, look, you got to pay for your hotel, and you got to pay for any flight if you have to get down there. That's on you, okay? I'm not no Jeff Bezos here. But we will get you in the stadium, a parking pass, food money, and another surprise. So if you want to be the 2021 DolphinsTalk.com Military Fan of the Year, send me an email to dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com, and I will put you down on the list. You just have to give me your name. You have to tell me which home game you want. If you don't know the home game yet, that's okay, because you have pretty much till the first week of September. Then you have to tell me if you win. And also, just give me like 1 or 2 sentences of why you should win and why you think you should win this contest. And the first week of September, Ian and myself will come on here and announce the winner and of who's going to go to the game and which game they picked and all that good stuff. So check that out. And Ian, also a little bit of news broke when we were on this podcast. Not really broke, but a little bit of something came over the wire, as they say.
What was it?
So the Miami Dolphins week 4 play the Indianapolis Colts. And for those of you who've been following around the league, the Colts have lost probably their 2 best players maybe. And Wentz, the quarterback, and also offensive lineman Quentin Nelson had pretty much the same type of injury with his foot. They're both out 5 to 12 weeks. Now, being out 5 to 12 weeks, they could be back for that game week 4 against Miami. Odds are they probably won't. And obviously, with Wentz, they have a quarterback issue because all the guys behind them have 0 experience. So it came out within the past 20 minutes that Philip Rivers hasn't totally – he might come back. And if he comes back – he going to the Colts because this only came out because they have a need now, the Colts. So Rivers is now considering a return to the league after a very short retirement. So that's something to watch because
you're going to pay him $10 million for the year.
At least. Oh, he's got all leverage now.
Because I was thinking, you know, Jay Cutler maybe also be available. I know he's
Jay Cutler's going through a rough split with his wife. And
so he might want to get back to football so that he takes things off, you know, gets his mind off of other things.
Jay Cutler, I love because I think he's going for money from his wife in the split because she makes a ton of money. So I think he's trying to get half of her money. Yeah. Which, you know what? Good for him. Honestly, good for him. But yeah, Rivers is contemplating a return. Once again, who knows if it's going to happen, but he is just out of the league. He's still fresh. He almost won a play. I always say, I don't know how they lost that playoff game last year to the Bills. They had the game handed to him on a silver platter. So if he comes back, Miami could see Phillip Rivers in Miami Gardens week four. So something to keep an eye on, Dolphins fans, because right now the Colts are a mess.
Yeah.
Just too bad luck. But
yeah, I never want to take any game for granted. And I know some people have already said, well, that's the Dolphins win their week
four. No, it's not.
Well,
Colts are a good team.
We've all seen games against backups, and it doesn't mean anything. All these guys are NFL players, so
they're in the
NFL for a reason.
It does make it easier. So if they have to go up against Jacob Eason or something, that makes it easier. But the Colts on paper at every other position is as good as Miami, and in some spots a lot better. They are a loaded team. Now, not having a proven quarterback hurts. Oh, and it was also announced last week that the Patriots are going to start Cam Newton week one. Now, once again, that could change as well, but I don't think it will. I think he's going to start Newton week one, and they'll bring along Mac Jones slowly. So it looks like Miami will be facing Cam Newton week one, but with the Patriots, can't trust those slimy little you-know-what, so I wouldn't believe anything they say. But that's what was reported over the weekend, at least.
That's everything, so, I think, Mike.
Everybody, have a great Tuesday. We will talk to you again next week. Keep checking out the website, dolphinstalk.com. We have a bunch of new articles. We have a bunch of new information. We got all the news when it breaks. We have various podcasts, like the Fins Fan podcast with Lou Groen and Michael Fink. Check them out. Everyone, go to our YouTube page and like and smash that like button. Or I should say smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, go to YouTube and search for Dolphins Talk. Also, go to YouTube and search for Big E Miami Dolphins and follow Ian Burgers Miami, his YouTube page as well. Follow Ian on Twitter at Ian693 underscore. And you can also follow me at Dolphins Talk. Everyone, have a great Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Fins up, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.